And we're holding on Ein Ches Amud Aleph, the second line. We've been talking about the whole matter of the women that a Kohen is not allowed to marry and the various dinim involving that, as far as when we say, when we talked about yesterday, when do we say that one issue of them is chal on another, when not, what's the definition of a chalala, and so forth. So now continuing on that topic of Kohenim and the women they're not allowed to marry. So the Gemara says, "Omer of Yehuda, Kohen Gadol ba'Amona loika shtayim. If a Kohen Gadol marries an Almona or and has relations with her, or for that matter, Rashi says the same thing would be a regular Kohen, a Grusha or a Chalola, then loika shtayim. He's getting twice Malkus. Achas mishum lo yikach, v'achas mishum lo yichalo. Because the Torah says he should not marry such women. So therefore, the Kedushin itself, he's getting Malkus for that." And another one because lo yichalo, because he's causing that she now becomes a chalala as a result of that. So therefore now he's getting so he's been over on two isurim in the Torah. So the Gemara asks, "V'luki nami mishum lo yichalo zaroi?" Well, why doesn't he also? We said that he gets malchus because of lo yichalo in the sense because he was machalo the woman herself when he had relations with her. But why doesn't he also then get malchus because he's also been machalo his children? Because the fact is that the fact is the children, as we said, are halolim as well, and he's told not to do that. And the answer is the Gemara says b'shaloi gama bi'asai. So you're talking about, let's say he didn't finish his bia, so therefore he didn't actually emit zera, so therefore there's nothing to talk about as far as that. She becomes a halala as soon as he does hara with her, the first stage of bia. But if he never emitted zera, or she doesn't become pregnant, as the case may be. And then there's not going to be any zera for him to be mechalal, so therefore Rabbi Yehuda is not Rabbi Yehuda is not going to talk about that. Now, on the face of it, that does mean that if he was motzi zera, then he should indeed get three malchus. Nevertheless, when the Rambam brings this halacha, he brings only the concept that he gets malchus because of lo yikach and lo yichalal. He doesn't mention the matter of him also getting malchus for being mechalal the children. And noisakei them on the Rambam deal with that and. Mefoshim deal with that at some length. Mefoshim here on the Gemara deal with that at some length. Why that should be? One thing is because the Rambam may hold. Look, the one word lo yichalo does include that he doesn't get that he shouldn't be mechalo a woman and that he shouldn't be mechalo her children. So therefore you can't give him double malchus for what's effectively the same lav. Okay. So the Gemara asks. The Luki Nami Mishum Lo Yichal. So Mosiv Rava. The Gemara says. So Rava says I have a contradiction. So you're telling me then that he's getting Malkus, for example, with Kohen Gadol with an Almana. We said he's getting two Malkus, one for being Mekadosh her and one for having relations with her. So Mosiv Rava though. Rava says we learn in a Mishnah in Malkus Almana Ugrusha. If a Kohen Gadol marries a woman who's an Almana as well as a Grusha. And as we learned yesterday, it would have to be in that order, or at least according to the Tana, that holds that Einis or Chalal is so except in certain conditions. So then, Loikim is from Shnei Shemus, then he's getting Malkus on two grounds, because number one, she's an Almana, and two, because she's a Grusha. My love, Shnei Shemus for two Loi. On the face of it, doesn't that mean that he's only getting Malkus because of those two Shemus? Meaning, in other words, he's getting twice Malkus, fine, one for her being an Almana, one for her being a Grusha, but that's it. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's also a lo yichalal involved over here. According to Rabbi Yehuda's logic, she should be getting three malchus because in addition, he's also causing her to be a chalala. And the answer is loy. That's not necessarily what the Mishnah means. It means al zeh. It means shnei shemus al zeh or shnei shemus al zeh. Means but he's getting. It means that there's two names almana and grusha in connection with lo yikach and two in connection with lo yichalal. Meaning, in other words, each one is a separate Isser. For each one, he is in fact getting two Malkus, one because he was Makadish her, and the other because he had relations with her. So yes, it could actually mean that he's getting four Malkus. Different other Mephoshim maybe here, Tosfos Riyazaka and others point out that maybe what it means is Shnei Shemus. In other words, you have the two. So Rashi is explaining Shnei Shemus Alzeh, Shnei Shemus Alzeh, meaning that you have within Lo Yikach, you have the two Shemus, Grusha and Almana, and within Lo Yichalol, you also have the two Shemus, Grusha and Almana. Tosfos Riyazokin says rather maybe what it means is within Grusha, you have the two Shemus, the two Lavim of Lo Yikach and Lo Yichalol, and within Almana, you have that as well. Not really enough Mina, at least on the face of it, between the explanations, just which one are we considering sort of the main issue and which one are we considering subcomponents of it. Anyway, the point is that Mishnah doesn't contradict what Rav Yehuda said, because when that Mishnah says he's getting Malkus, Mishum Shnei Shemus, but that doesn't say how many times he's getting Malkus within each of those Shemus. Okay, the Gemara says, Ihachi. Well, if you're going to learn the Mishnah that way, Ema Sefer, then look at the next part of that same Mishnah in Makkos, which continues, Grusha v'chalutza. If a Kohen marries a woman who is a Grusha as well as a Chalutza, so she's also received Chalitza because she was a Shemeres Yavam, then he's chayev only for one. Now the word al, the word al is supposed to go out of it here. The Gemara is going to answer. It means ela al achas. The original version would be ein chayev el achas. He's chayev only one. Now on the face of it, that means he's chayev only one malchus. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he ought to be fine. Forget about. We're going to say in a second that chalutza is only dirabonim, so therefore there's no malchus for it. There's machas maudrus at best, but no malchus. But fine. But based on what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, how can you say that with a grusha he's getting only one malchus? The fact is there's going to be one for lo yikach and one for lo yichalo. So the Gemara answers that's what it means. Hachikomer ena chayev ela al achas means he's only chayev for one of those two definitions of grusha and chalutza, because chalutza is only dirabonim. But in fact, he is getting Malkus on two different grounds, namely one because Lo Yikach and one because Lo Yichalo. Okay, the Gemara asks for Chalutza Dirabanan. So you're telling me the whole concept that a Chalutza is also to marry a Kohen is only Dirabanan? V'hotanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says Grusha, the Pasuk mentions a divorced woman, Emi Ela Grusha. So from that, you would only know that a Grusha is also to marry a Kohen. Chalutza Minai. And how do we know that the same is true of a Chalutza? Tamad Lema Ve'isha. Therefore, the Pasuk doesn't just say Grusha Me'isha. It says Ve'isha Grusha Me'isha. A woman who is separated, who is divorced from her husband. And from that, we learn that a Chalutza is also to a Kohen. So you see that a Chalutza is Daraisa. And the Gemara answers no. Medirabonon across Machta Ba'alma. No, the pasuk, the din that a chalutza is also to marry a kohen is drabbanan. The pasuk, the fact that it says the word ve'isha in the Torah is meant as an asmachta for that, meaning not that it's daraisa. Just we've learned before something that the Ritva explains on that. An asmachta is not stam. The Chachamim found a random word in a pasuk and decided based on that we have a hint to their takana, but to their gzera, but rather the other way around. Hashem to begin with put that word in the Torah, intending if the Chachamim at some point should find it appropriate to make a gzera, to make the appropriate gzera, then they have this word as a basis, or the support of a word, or whatever, as a basis for their takana. So here, once the Chachamim decided that we should ask a chalutza to a kohen, then Hashem left this word ve'isha in the Torah for them to be able to have a basis for that. Anyway, the point is though, it is derabbanan, and therefore, yeah, if a kohen were to marry a woman who's exclusively a chalutza, he wouldn't be getting malchus deraisa. At most, he'd be getting makas maudus derabbanan. But still, that Mishnah does not contradict Rabbi Yehuda, because the Mishnah, when it talks about that he's getting Malkus twice or once, it doesn't mean how many total times he's getting Malkus, means how many different Isurim has he, how many different names of Isur has he been over, and within each one of them, you have a Lo Yikach and you have a Lo Yichalo. Okay, the Gemara continues, Omer Abaya, Kiddush Loika. So Abaya says now, if the Kohen were to be Makadish one of these women, who's also to him, Loika, then he's getting Malkus for that alone. Baal Loika, if he has relations with her without Kiddushin, Loika, then also he's getting Malkus. Because each one is a separate issue. Kiddush loyke mishum lo yikach bal loyke mishum lo yichalo. Because when he's makadish, then he was over on the mitzvah. The Torah says lo yikach that he's not allowed to marry a woman who is a grusha or chalala or whatever these criteria are. Not chalala. Chalala, we said anyway she's mechulal. But whatever. The point is if he marries a grusha or a kohen gadol marries an almana and whatever, then he's over on that mitzvah. And in addition, then if he has relations with her, then he's causing her to become a halala. So therefore, he's over on that issue, and therefore he's getting malchus for that. On the other hand, Rava Omer Baal loike loy Baal ain loike. On the other hand, Rava says no, he's not getting malchus unless he actually had relations with her. If he is just makadish her, sure, he's over on an issue. But he's not going to get malchus for being over on that isser of lo yikach unless there was a lo yichalal involved. Because in other words, Rava is understanding mishum dichtiv lo yikach v'lo yichalal. The pasuk says he should not take such a wife and he should not be machalal. Meaning ma tam lo yikach. Why indeed is he not allowed to take such a wife mishum lo yichalal? Because he's not allowed to be machalal of a woman with his bia. So if he only does kiddush, if he only does kiddushin and never does beer with her, then Rav is going to learn that he wasn't over that he wasn't over on Isser, or even if we say he was over on an Isser, not to the extent that he's going to be getting malchus for it. So now it's interesting actually on the face of it. The Rambam actually writes that the Rambam writes not only as far as a kohen. The Rambam writes in general that when a person, what about, for example, here we're talking about a kohen with an almana, with a kohen gadol with an almana, or a regular kohen with a grusha. What about, for example, a regular yid if he's makadish a mamzeres and does not do bia with her? Would he be getting malchus for that? Or rather, what about the other way around? That's poshut. If a regular yid is makadosh mamzeres, let's say, there's no question he's not getting malchus. What about the other way around? What if a yid has relations with a mamzeres where he wasn't makadosh or first? So the Rambam writes that he's not going to be getting malchus on the grounds of being mamzeres. There is an interesting thing. The Rambam says the only exception, the only case where a person he learns our Gemara over here to be saying. Let's learn the next line, then we'll talk about what the Rambam says. So the Gemara says, first of all, Umoida Abaya b'machzor grushosai. Abaya would agree when a man remarries his grusha after she had married somebody else in between, where, of course, as we know, the Torah says he's not allowed to do that. So Abaya would agree, in that case, she kiddush v'leibal she'en aloyke. If he was only makadish her and didn't actually have relations with her, then he's not getting malchus. Because there, the pasuk says that he shouldn't remarry her to be his wife, which implies that they're going to have bia. So until they actually have bia, then even Abaya agrees they're not going to be getting malchus. So by the case of a koyin and a grusha or a koyin gadol and an almana, where the pasuk says separately lo yikach and separately lo yichalel, then we can say that Abaya is going to say he's getting separate malchus for each one. But because when it comes to this case of machzu grushosei, where the pasuk doesn't say lo yikach and separately, he cannot bring her back to make her his wife. That implies, in other words, so that you would think that lo yochal loshuv lakachta implies a lav against being makadosher. No, what it means is he's not over on that lav unless he also, after the kedushin, also has relations with her. So therefore, Sabaya will agree that in that case he's getting only one malchus. Similarly, umoida rova b'koin gadol ba'amana. Similarly, Rava will agree when it comes to a kohen gadol by an almana, she involved like kiddush loike. If he has relations with her, but without kiddushin, then he is getting malchus. After all, the pasuk says you should not desecrate his children among his people. And here, if he has relations with her and she ends up having children from it, then the fact is those children are halalim, even though there was no marriage over here. So therefore, Rava will agree that in that kind of case, That in that kind of case, there will be Malchus just for the Bia, even though usually he's requiring, as we said, he requires that there should be both Bia after Kiddushin, but he's saying by a Kohen Gadol is different because the Pasuk says Lo Yichalol Zarei, and the fact is there is a Chilol Zera over here. So therefore, Ushneya Moidim Machzor Kudushase she involve the Kiddush and Eloika, both of them will agree by Machzor Kudushase if he has relations with her outside of marriage, that then he's not getting Malchus either. He made that Malchus for the fact that she's a Pnuya. That's a different issue that Amam holds. A person gets Malchus for having relations outside of marriage because Lo Yekodesh and Lo Yekdesha. But in terms of the issue of Machzor Kudushase, he's not over on that, because derech lekuchin osra tera, the tera answers it only in a way that it's done as lekuchin, where they're getting married. In other words, because the pasuk says like he shouldn't remarry her. Loshuv lekachta, he's not allowed to take her in marriage. And here he's not taking her in marriage. They're just having relations outside of marriage. So now here's an interesting point that within the Rambam. The Rambam learns that this that we're saying that when there's relations outside of marriage, there's never any malchus. The Rambam holds that applies to all cases except the Kohen Gadol Ba'almana. Meaning, right here, our Gemara is saying flat out that Kohen Gadol Ba'almana, Baal of the Kiddush Loike, and that Rava is agreeing to that. But other than that, the Rambam learns every other case where the Torah says that a certain man is not allowed to marry a certain woman, then if they do it without Kiddushin, if they just are Mizana together, then the Rambam holds they're not getting Malchus on whatever grounds that is, Mamzeres or Grusha or what have you. So an interesting point within that actually is the Chachmei Luna, or the famous Chachamim of Provincia in the south of France. They got they were in touch with the Rambam all the time. The Chachamim of the city of Luna over there were in touch with the Rambam all the time to ask him various things, various questions in what he wrote in Yad HaChazaka. So they asked him about this. They said, "What do you mean? How is it? On the face of it, don't we have a Gemara?" They said we have. On the face of it, we have a Gemara in Ksubas that says the opposite. That seems to imply there would be Malchus for such Isurim when there's Bia without Kiddushin. Meaning, obviously, when it comes to Isuri Krisis or Mrs. Basedin, obviously that's how it works, because there's no Kiddushin possible at all. But even in cases where Kiddushin would be Tofus, there is Malchus even if they have relations outside of marriage. What are you, the Rambam, saying that applies only to a Kohen Gadol Ba'almana? And the Rambam writes, in fact, I was thinking about that for a long time before I wrote this halacha. First I thought, you're right, and I should write it that way. But then he says, as I was going through the relevant Gemaras, I said, look, we have a very clear Gemara over here. We have the in Ksubas over there is a discussion back and forth between Amiroyim over there. So you can say, for example, that the opinion there, Rabbi Yitzchak, that says this point, he holds like Abaya over here. So the halacha is like Rava over Abaya, and he goes on to explain other grounds why he holds this way. The fact is that so the Rambam goes and in this Truva defends his position. The fact is there are a lot of other Rishonim who disagree with him. The Raiva there in Hilchos Isurei Bia disagrees with the Rambam. The Ramban also disagrees with him. So many of them hold that there are going to be other cases where when there's Bia without Kiddushin, then he is getting Malchus. So in terms of our Gemara over here, though, what we've established is that if the Koyan is Makadish a woman and doesn't do Bia with her, then Abaya would hold he's getting Malchus, Rova would hold he's not. And in the case where there's only Bia without Kiddushin, so again, Abaya would hold he's getting Malchus, Rova would disagree with the exception of a Koyan Gadol Ba'almana. And with other Isurei Bia, that's where you have the machlokas of the Rambam and other Rishonim. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bas Ger Zochok Bas Chol. We said in the Mishnah that we had several different opinions in the Mishnah about a Koyan marrying the daughter of a Ger. We had Rabbi Yehuda saying that the status passes down from father to child. So therefore, if the father is a ger, then the daughter is possible to marry a kohen, just as a geyoris herself would be possible to marry a kohen. Then we had Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov saying that it's fine as long as one, at least as long as one parent is a born Jew. And then we had Rabbi Yossi saying that even if both parents are gerim, then the daughter can still marry a kohen. So now let's discuss all that. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer bas ger zocho kabas kolo. Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer bas ger zocho kabas kolo zocho. Just like we said earlier in the Mishnah, that if a cholo marries a regular Jewish woman, then their children are chololim, and their daughter would be possible to marry a kohen, as we worked it out yesterday. So Rabbi Yehuda says the same thing is true as far as a ger. And in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda says, v'hadin noisin, you can figure it out logically. Ma chol, you can make a kavah chomer. Ma cholol shabam mitipak shera. Ma docha cholol, who himself came from a kosher to drop. After all, when he was his father was a Yisrael. Just the problem was there was an iser in the relations that led to him being conceived. But his father was a Yisrael kosher, and yet bitei psula. Yet his daughter is possible to marry a kohen. So then ger shabam mitipak psula. So a ger who comes from a possible drop in the sense because his father was a goy. His mother, for that matter, was a goy too. Was a goy too. Ein adin shabitei psula, says Rabbi Yehuda, wouldn't it be a kavachomer that his daughter should be possible to marry a kohen? But the Gemara says, mal cholol sheken yitzirose ba'avera. How do you compare? After all, a cholol was created with an avera. A ger who was born to a goy and a goyte, he wasn't created with an avera. So how can you make such a kavachomer? And the answer is, kohen gadol ba'amona yichyach. Fine, you can in that case you can prove instead from a kohen gadol having relations with an amona she'en yitzirose ba'avera. The Kohen Gadol was not created through Avera or Bitei Psula. And yet the Kohen Gadol and the Almana's daughter is going to be possible to marry a Kohen. So therefore, so you can use that as a basis for a Kavah Chomer. But Mala Kohen Gadol ba'Almana sheken biyoseh ba'Avera, but you can schlug that up also, because after all, the Kohen Gadol having relations with an Almana itself is an Avera. So how do you prove from that when a Ger marries a Bas Yisrael where there's no Isser in it at all? So what's the problem? And the answer is cholol yichyach. Well, then we'll go back to the cholol, where again the cholol himself was the cholol himself rather. What we're saying is a chol. When we said about a cholol, we're talking about again when a cholol marries a bas yisrael. There's no issue whatsoever in a cholol marrying a bas yisrael. We learned before loy huzu ruksheiros linasil psulim. Even a bas koyin is allowed to marry a cholol. So then, if you want to say, so the Kavah Chomer is going to go like this. We're going to start from a cholol. We're going to start from a cholol and his regular Jewish wife. And we're going to say how much more so than a ger, who's weaker than a cholol because he comes from Tipa Psula. On the other hand, the cholol himself was conceived through an Avera. But then, okay, so we'll say a Kohen Gadol with an Almana. He wasn't conceived by Avera, and his daughter is also. But there it's a Bia of Isser, where the Cholol with the Bas Yisrael is not a Bia of Isser. Fine, so Cholol Yechiach, we can prove from exactly that. A Cholol with a Bas Yisrael, there's no Isser in the Bia, and yet their daughter is possible. So therefore, the Chozer Adin. So things go back and forth. Loy Reizeh Kirizeh. Each one is not like the other. Each one has a feature that the other one doesn't have. The Kohen Gadol marrying an Almana, he himself is doing an Isser. The Cholol marrying a Bas Yisrael, he's not doing an Isser, but he himself was created through an Isser, where the Kohen Gadol was not. But we see in both cases, that Sada Shavash Behen, what do they both have in common? She'en and Beroi V'Kohol, they're not in the same category as most of the Kohol, because most of the Kohol was not conceived through Averis, and most of the Kohol is not, most of the Kohol is not, has not committed an Avera with their Bia. So therefore, now we can also include a ger who's in the same category. He's also not in the category of most of the kohol, because he also is different than most Jews in the fact that he was conceived from tipa psula, because his father was a goy, and therefore bitei psula. So therefore, so ubitei psula, and therefore his daughter is going to be possible. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is making a tzad hashav. Just say this. Okay, so the Gemara asks, still you could ask, Malat Sada Shova Shibahan, Shekane Yesh, and by the way, in the Mishnah we said Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov disagrees with that. Rashi pointed out over there, because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is gonna say that fine, you have a tzad hashava, but the fact is, the tzad hashava is not really that you're saying that each one has something in common with the other. All you're saying really is both of them have a feature that sets them apart from other Jews. So that's not you. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is going to say that's not, that kind of thing is not a valid kavachomer. You want to have a kavachomer, you can find something that the two of them actually have in common. Here, you want to argue, Rabbi Huda, they all have in common that their daughters marry the Kohen, that their daughters can't marry a Kohen. That itself is what you're trying to prove with the kavachomer. Other than that, you have no other commonality between them. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah are going to say we don't agree with this tzad hashava. Anyway, the Gemara asks, even within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, can't you slug it up? Malat tzada shava shebehen shekein yesh behem tzada veira. After all, the cholol and kohen gadol each have a dimension of aveira involved. The cholol was conceived from an aveira. The kohen gadol marrying an almana is doing an aveira. So therefore, you could say that anytime there's a dimension of aveira, then that's enough for their daughter to not be able to marry a kohen. But when it comes to a ger, marrying a Bas Yisrael, there's neither one. His conception was not Aveira. There's nothing wrong with a goy marrying a goita and having children. There's no Aveira in him marrying a Bas Yisrael. So then you could shlog up even Rabbi Yehuda's Tzad HaShava, you could shlog up. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Loi tema koin godo ba'amonu yechiyach ela ema mitzri rishon. Right, so fine. Don't use as the second part of the tzad hashava a kohen gadol with an almana. That's a good point, because after all, a kohen gadol with an almana is doing an iser. Rather, use the case of a mitzri of the first generation. Mitzri rishon yechiyach, proof from a mitzri rishon. So if he marries a fellow mitzris, so fine. There's no yitzirose ba'aveira. Neither of them were conceived through an aveira. Neither of them is doing an aveira now, because a mitzri rishon is allowed to marry a mitzris rishona or a mitzris shnia, because they're all first or second generation gerim from Mitzrayim. And yet the daughter would be also lover b'kohol. Because after all, so it's only the third generation, only their grandchildren are going to be able to freely marry into the Jewish people. So therefore, so you can use that. So you can say, you can prove from the combination of the cholol and the mitzri rishon. So you're going to prove, so here the Gemara thinks that you're going to prove exclusively from the mitzri rishon. But the Gemara says, Mala mitzri rishon, shekein ein roi lover b'kohol. On the other hand, you can say you can't prove a kavachomer from a mitzri rishon, because he can't marry into the Jewish people at all. And therefore his daughter is possible to marry a kohen. How do you prove from that to a cholol? And the answer, how do you prove from that to a regular ger from other nations who he himself is allowed to marry a regular Jewish woman? And the answer is cholol yechiyach. Okay, well, in that case, we'll prove from the cholol. And again, chozerad v'chozeradin, lo yiizeh ki yiizeh. And again, we're going to go back and forth like that. Atzad ha-shava shebehen, what do they have in common? She'enin v'roev kohol. They're not in the same category as most of the kohol, because most of the kohol is roi lover b'kohol. Most Jews are able to marry any fellow Jew they want. Most Jews was not yitzirosen ba'aveira, bitei psula, and both of them, their daughters are posel. Afani obvious a ger, she'enin b'roev kohol, bitei psula. So therefore, says Rabbi Huda, you can also include a ger is the same thing. He's not part of roev kohol in the sense he's an exception to the rule, because most of the kohol was born from tipa ksheira and he was born from tipa psula. But the Gemara says, Malat Sada Shava Shabahan. Still, you could argue, what's the so fine. How do you, the fact is that Sada Shava Shabahan also has, she can't post them to be awesome. Both of them, if they have relations with a woman, they will make her possible to marry a kohen. Because, again, the cholol, when he marries a Bas Yisrael, then he makes her a cholola. Even if she was kosher l'kohuna before that, but now she becomes posel l'kohuna. The mitzri also, because he's a psul kohol, because he's not allowed to intermarry into the wider Jewish people, if he has relations with a woman, we learned about this the other day, also she becomes posel l'kohuna. So you could say that because of that, tzad hashava, their daughters can't marry kohanim. How do you prove from that to a regular ger, which is not the case? And the answer, so the Rabbi Yehuda, ger nami posel b'biyosei. As a matter of fact, the answer is Rabbi Yehuda will say, on the basis of his kavachomer, on the basis of a tzadah shava, he's going to say exactly that. A regular ger also, he's going to say if he marries and has relations with a regular Jewish woman, he's going to passel her to ever marry a kohen. He's going to use the exact same mahatzad, the exact same tzadah shava that he just used to prove that a ger's daughter is possible to marry a kohen. He's going to use the exact same thing. He's going to use the exact same thing to say that not just a Mitzri ger, not just a first generation Mitzri ger, but also a first generation ger of any nation is going to passel a woman to marry a kohen. So Rabbi Yehuda will hold that way. Now the other Chachamim, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Yossi, are going to disagree with that. In fact, Tosfos adds also, so now, fine, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the Mishnah, who says that at least one of the parents, that one of the parents needs to be a born Jew, he obviously disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda's Mahatzad. He would say a ger does not passel a Jewish woman to Kohuna by having relations with her. As far as Rabbi Yossi, Tosfos says, Rabbi Yossi, who says that even if both parents are gerim, the daughter can marry a kohen. Tosfos explains that Rabbi Yossi is going to say that Rabbi Yossi doesn't agree that this is a tzada shava b'chlal. He doesn't say that this concept of saying they're not beroiv akohol is the reason behind why the daughters are possible in the respective cases is different. One because her father was a cholol, and one because her father was a ger. Or one because her father was a ger mitzvi. It's not really the same reason why they're possible, and therefore that's not a valid tzada shava, says Rabbi Yossi. Besides which, he says that to say that they're not beroiv kohol, one because of an avera and one because possible love of a kohol, you can't really call that a tzada shava. So Rabbi Yossi doesn't consider that a tzada shava, and neither does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and therefore they don't hold this whole concept that Rabbi Yehuda says. With that said, though, Tosfos Yeshanim wonders, the fact is that when are you talking about, what would be the circumstances where a Mitzri has relations with a woman and makes her posel a kohuna? Of necessity, it has to be a Bas Yisrael, because if it's a fellow Mitzris, she's a Giyoda, so she's posel a kohuna. So why can't we say then, so Malat Tzada Shavah Shehem, we say before, that there is a Tzada Vera, whether a Mitzri has relations with a Bas Yisrael, if a Mitzri has relations with the Bas Yisrael, then there's an Avera involved, because he's not allowed until the third generation. And if a Cholol has relations with the Bas Yisrael, fine, there's no Isser in those relations, but he himself was created from an Isser, so therefore we could slog up the Tzada Shava anyway and say there's a Tzada Avera in both of them. So Tosfos leaves the question open.
It's both.
The Mitzri Amorim and Mayovim is men only, but Mitzriim and Mitzri and Adomi is both men and women.
Because one would be
you have whatever the reasons are. I mean, in the case of Ammon and Moyov, you have the fact that the Torah says Al Dvar Asher LeKidmu Eschem B'Lechem V'Mayim, they didn't come to greet you with bread and water. And the Gemara explains in Yevamos the women wouldn't have done that. Mitzad Snius. And you have the deeper idea, because you need, from Moyov has to come Rus, and from Amun has to come Nama. But there's a Mishnah in Yevamos where Rav Shimon disagrees and says that by a Kavach Chomer, he says that a Mitzri and a Domi also, only the men should be also for three generations, the women not. But the Chachamim shlug him up over there, and the Halacha is not like that. Fine. Now, we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, a ger, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov had said that if a ger marries a Bas Yisrael or a Giyoras or Yisrael marries a Giyoras, either way, as long as one parent is a born Jew, then Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that holds the child was kosher to marry a Kohen. Doesn't matter which one. So he doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda's point about Bas Ger Zohar to Bas Cholol Zohar. He doesn't agree that a Ger's status is passed down to his daughter, and therefore that the daughter would be considered a Giyodas and Posel Akona. He doesn't hold this whole Tzada Shava that Rabbi Yehuda said, as we said, because there's weaknesses in that Tzada Shava. So we had four opinions. So we had three opinions so far. We had Rabbi Yehuda saying it all depends on the father. If the father is a ger, then Rabbi Yehuda had held the daughter is possible to marry a kohen. We had Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov who says as long as one parent is a born Jew, then the daughter can marry a kohen. We had Rabbi Yossi saying even if both of them are gerim, the daughter is kosher to marry a kohen. But even Rabbi Yossi would say she has to have been conceived and when she has to have been conceived after they both became gerim. So now the Gemara is going to bring a fourth opinion. We learned this the other day in the Gemara as well. If a girl became a giyuris at the age of less than 3 years old, then she would share a kohuna. Then Rabbi Shimon says she would be kosher to marry a kohen.
No bia before this.
Because no bia before 3 years old. So therefore, so she's not included in the category when the Torah says that a kohen can't marry a zoyna. And he brings a proof from a pasuk. Shenema, you have after the war with Midian. So you have the war with Midian. They came back with a bunch of spoils as well as women as captives. And Moshe gets angry at them. Achiyisim called the keva, and he says you can only leave alive only the young girls. V'chola taf banoshim. He says only the young women. And the Gemara explains over there. The Gemara explains in Yuvamis that it means the girls who are below the age of Bia, which means below 3 years old. Hachayu lochem. Keep alive for yourselves. Now, what do you mean yourselves? Pinchas ha-yayimahim. One of the ones who went to that war was Pinchas, and Pinchas is a kohen. Therefore, Reb Shimon says, when it says hach yulachem, means you can take them. When they grow up, they can become your wives. So, therefore, obviously, that means Reb Shimon says that a girl who became a giyotis at less than 3 years old is kosher to marry a kohen. Virabbanan, the Chachamim answer to that. No, they say Hachyulachem means la'avodim v'lashvachas. It means you can keep them alive for yourself to use them as maid servants. Doesn't mean that you can marry them. In the case of the regular Jews, sure, they could if they want to, but Pinchas himself could keep them only as a shifra.
Anywhere or just say that stay.
No, so that's the Chachamim understanding, that's what it means. Hachyulachem does not necessarily mean that they can keep them alive and eventually marry them. It means they can keep them alive for avodim and shvachas. Doesn't actually mean that when we say avodim, by the way, doesn't mean that all the boys and all the men were killed. The pasuk says in the over there. So the Rashash explains over here, la avodim means you can marry them off to your avodim kananim. You have avodim kananim, you can take some of these girls and marry them off to them. Or if you choose, you can keep the girls as shvachas and not marry them off to anybody. But the point is, you yourselves can't marry you. Again, Yisraelim, if they want, they could be Magayo, these girls, and marry them, but Pinchas not. Okay. Now, so the bottom line is we have four different opinions about in terms of gerim, in terms of families of gerim, who can marry a kohen. Rabbi Yehuda, not if the father is a ger. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if it's a problem if both parents are gerim, but it's fine if one of them is not. Rabbi Yossi, even if both of them are gerim, is fine. Rabbi Shimon, even if the girl herself is a geirus, as long as it's below 3 years old. So the Gemara says v'chulon mikra echadoshu. All four of these tanoim are actually learning from the same source, from a pasuk in Yechezkel. Now, Yechezkel being already after the Torah was given, he can't make up new halachas. However, this is, we're talking about that he's, the Gemara mentions in some places, you have the idea that Yechezkel is only writing down something that was already known from Torah Shebaal Peh. You have other examples of it here and there in Shas. Anyway, the pasuk says, Yechezkel is describing, now on the surface, Yechezkel is describing how things are going to be la'osid lover. There's a number of things in what he describes that are different than the halacha as we know them. Some of Foshim explain, on a pshat level, it means that he's saying that the kohenim then are going to be on a higher level than they are now, and therefore the dinim that apply in earlier times only to the kohen gadol are going to apply to all kohenim la'osid lover. But here, the Gemara is not learning that way. And the pasuk says, "Almana ugrusha liyicholahem lanoshim." They're not allowed to marry an almana, a widow or a divorced woman. Ki im besulois mizera beis Yisrael. Only besulois from the seed of the Jewish people. So now, what does this word mizera beis Yisrael mean? Rabbi Yehuda sava adi is kol zera miYisrael. Rabbi Yehuda holds the entire zera has to be from within the Jewish people. So in other words, what's the primary zera is the zera of the father. So therefore, according to him, the father has to be a Jew in order for the daughter to be able to marry a kohen.
Even though we see a lot of things that go according to the mother.
Some things we go according to the mother, but that's as far as establishing whether a person is Jewish or not. As far as what shevet a person is from, we know it goes according to the father. We learned in the previous parak, whenever there's kiddushin ve'ein avera, then it goes according to the father. And here there's kiddushin and there's no avera. Ger is perfectly allowed to marry a bas Yisrael. So therefore, it would fall in that category. Nevertheless, based on this pasuk, Rabbi Yehuda says, sure, the daughter is a kosher, a Jewish woman. She's allowed to marry most anybody, but not a kohen because this pasuk mizera beis Yisrael. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov Savar, mizera, v'afilu mikzas zera. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says, listen, it says mizera from the seed. So that means even if only some of the seed is from Yisrael. So as long as one of the parents is Yisrael, then fine. Rabbi Yossi Savar Mishin Nizru be Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi says all it has to be is that the zera was produced among Jews, meaning that the parents were both Gerim. So it doesn't matter, according to him, the parents were both Gerim. She was conceived after they both became Jews. Therefore, that's fine. And Reb Shimon ben Yichai Sava Mishin Nizru ubsuleha b'Yisrael. Reb Shimon is going to hold that it means the one whose besulim were grown among Jews. Meaning, in other words, again, why is it that bia below three is not considered bia because the besulim will grow back? Well, therefore, Reb Shimon says, in effect, what it means is the besulim grew and developed to the point where they won't grow back among Jews. So, therefore, as long as she's below three, then that's fine. Then that works.
What's about the pasuk that we learned that especially that by Kohen you have to keep the yichus?
You have to keep the yichus, fine. But Reb Shimon is saying that's not a problem. The girl herself can be a geyoris, and the girl herself can be a geyoris, and she's kosher to marry a Kohen.
Well, there wasn't a separate pasuk that we learned, especially that.
This pasuk we're talking about over here. So,
different pasuk. Yeah.
So the Gemara says, Omalei Rav Nachman l'Rava. So Rav Nachman asks Rava. Now, Rav Nachman is Rava's Rebbe. What is he doing asking Rava a question? So the Rashash says maybe it means that he's asking him like in order to test him. On the other hand, by the side over here, it gives a different girsa that says Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. And that would work out better because Rav Nachman by Yitzchak was in fact a Talmud of Rava. Yeah, Rashi and Tosfos elsewhere argue, when we mention Rav Nachman and Shas without qualification, which Rav Nachman is it? Rashi holds it means actually Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. So according to Rashi, there wouldn't be a question here in the first place. Tosfos points out, based on a number of Gemaras, that no, Stam Rav Nachman in the Gemara is Rav Nachman by Yaakov. He's usually just called Rav Nachman in the Gemara. Once in a while, it mentions his father's name. He was a chaver of Rav Huna and Rav Chista and all that generation of Amiroyim, and he was one of Rava's Rebbe's. And then Rav Nachman Yitzchok would be the next generation after that, and he was a Talmud of Rava. Anyway, so Rav Nachman asked Rava, "Haikra, what's going on with this pasuk over here? Reisha b'kohen gadol v'seifa b'kohen hedyot. In the beginning of it is talking about a kohen gadol because it says that he shouldn't marry an almana, and that's something only about kohenim golim. And then the end of it, you're telling us, is talking about a kohen hedyot. This b'sulos mizera beis Yisrael is a. So you're saying that that's a rule that applies to regular kohenim." And on top of that, the pasuk ends with a part the Gemara didn't quote over here. The pasuk ends, "V'ha almana asher tia almana mikoyin yikochu." They are allowed to marry an almana who is an almana from a koyin. So necessarily, therefore, we have to be talking about a regular koyin. A koyin gadol is completely also to marry an almana. So what's going on over here? The pasuk is first talking about a koyin gadol saying you can't marry an almana, and then the rest of the pasuk seems to be talking about a regular koyin. So again, on a pshat level, Mephoshim explain it means that the Kohenim in the future will be on a higher level. They're going to be on the level of the Kohen Gadol of earlier times. Therefore, the same rules that apply to him, that he can't marry an almana and he has to marry a b'sula, are going to apply to them. The Gemara doesn't want to give that answer. The Gemara wants to make it. The Gemara wants to show how the pasuk can be understood in the light of halacha as it applies throughout Jewish history as well, not just something extra that will be l'moisa Mashiach. So Rava answers, "Ain, yeah, that's how it is. The beginning of the pasuk is talking about a kohen gadol, and the end is talking about a kohen hedyot." So he asks, "V'chosav kro hachi? Do you have psukim like that, where the pasuk begins talking about one kind of thing and ends up talking about another thing?" And the answer is, "Yeah, omalei ain." So he says, "Yeah, I'll give you an example. D'chtiv, we find by Shmuel Anavi." The first time he ever received Nevuah, so he's growing up in the Mishkan, Eli is teaching him, and you have the story over there where one night he's lying in bed and all of a sudden Hashem starts calling to him, and after a few times he realizes that it's Hashem, it's not Eli calling to him, and he prepares himself for his first Nevuah. So the pasuk sets the scene. The ner elikim terem yichbe. The light of Hashem had not gone out, meaning the menorah was still burning. Ushmuel shoychev beheichal Hashem, and Shmuel was lying in the heichal of Hashem. Now, what do you mean? Is Shmuel lying in the heichal? The fact is, the only ones who are allowed to sit in the azara, let alone in the heichal, are kings from the family of David. So, and Shmuel is a Levi. So how can Shmuel be sleeping in the Heichal? Ella, we have to understand what the pasuk means is v'ner elikim terem yichba beheichal Hashem. The words beheichal Hashem refer to the ner elikim, the lamp of Hashem, which is the menorah, which is located in the Heichal, had not yet gone out, meaning it was still early in the evening. Or Shmuel shoychev, and when it says Shmuel was lying, means mimakoyma, means wherever, well, not his house, but whatever, someplace in the Mishkan complex where he was staying. Yeah. So the point is, there you have a pasuk. Even though you have the words of Shmuel Shoychev in the middle before Beheichal Hashem, and it sounds as though Shmuel is lying in the Heichal, but that's not what it means. The words Beheichal Hashem refer back to earlier in the pasuk. So in a similar vein, our pasuk over here, yes, one part of it can be referring to Kohenim Gdolim, and another part can be referring to regular Kohenim. Next, so what does it mean now the Gemara is going to focus on the end of the pasuk. The pasuk says v'ha'amana shetiyah amana mikoyin yikachu. Now on the face of it, what that means is that an almana who is an almana from a koyin, they're allowed to marry. So it sounds as though there's a distinction between almanas themselves, whether their previous husband was a Yisrael or whether he was a koyin. So the Gemara asks mikoyin ein Yisrael loy. What does that mean? Is a Kohen Gadol allowed to marry a Kohen, an Almona from a different Kohen, but not from Israel? A Kohen Head yet doesn't have an Issue of an Almona at all, and a Kohen Gadol has an Issue of an Almona no matter who her first husband was. So what is the Pasuk saying? And the answer is Hochi Kamer. What the Pasuk means is, Mi Kohen Yikochu, mean from the Kohenim they can take, meaning Mishar Kohenim Yikochu, people among the other Kohenim can take, meaning, in other words, not the Kohen Gadol. So in other words, when the Pasuk said, so in other words, we have to parse the Pasuk as follows. V'ha'amana asher tiyah almana. If an almana is exclusively an almana, and there's no other issue, she's not also a grusha or chalala or whatever, mi Kohen, some of the Kohenim, yikochu, can marry such a woman. What do we mean? Some of the Kohenim, right. All of them except the Kohen Gadol. Yeah. So therefore, so the Pasuk fits with the way we know the halacha. We learn similarly in a braisa that explains that the word mikoyin means that other koyanim are allowed to marry. Rabbi Yehuda gives a different explanation in the pasuk. Means that Rabbi Yehuda says that only if her husband was somebody whose daughter would be able to marry a koyan, only then can the almana be able to marry a koyan. Because, in other words, we said before that Rabbi Yehuda, we said on Amud Aleph, that Rabbi Yehuda would say that if a ger marries a regular Jewish woman, she becomes posel l'kohona. We said he learned it from his tzad hashava. So now he says this is also hinted out in the pasuk over here. Rabbi Yehuda l'taymei. Rabbi Yehuda is going according to his own svara. Dama bas ger zocher kabas cholol zocher. He had said that the daughter of a ger is just like the daughter of a cholol, and just like the daughter of a male cholol is a cholola, so the daughter of a male ger is considered a giyodas and posel to marry a kohen. And he says the rule, as we've learned earlier in the parak, whenever a Kohen is allowed to marry a certain Jew's daughter, he would also be able to marry that same Jew's almana. If you can't marry his daughter, you can't marry his almana either. Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a Kohen can't marry the daughter of a ger, is also going to hold that a Kohen can't marry an almana of a ger. So therefore, he understands the word mikoyen not to mean from Kohenim, but rather to mean from people who are freely able to have their daughters intermarry with Kohenim. Namely, Rabbi Yehuda says, not Gerim. So in short, Rabbi Yehuda says, this din that he said before, that a Ger's daughter is possible to marry a Kohen, and that a Ger's almana is also possible to marry a Kohen, he says that's hinted at in this passage. Now, we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi had said, even if both parents are gerim, the daughter is kosher to marry a kohen. So the Gemara says, Omer of Hamnunim, Shmeidu Ula, Halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. He says, Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, even if her parents are gerim on both sides, then she's allowed to marry a kohen. V'chein Omer Rabbi Babachana, Omer Halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Babachana says the same thing. However, he adds, Umiyoyim Shechora Beis HaMikdash. Ever since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nagu Kohenim still so ba'atz. And the Kohenim had been knowing an extra chumra in halacha to follow Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and to say that they're only going to marry a woman only if one of her parents was a born Jew. So therefore, Amar Rav Nachman, Omar li Huna, so Rav Nachman says, Huna, which is Rav Huna, told me, here's how it works. Boldi Molech, if a Kohen comes to ask whether he should marry a certain woman, Modim like Rav Lazman Yaakov, we will tell him, the halacha is like Rav Lazman Yaakov, that it has to be that one of her parents is Jewish. Nasa, but if he married a woman, both of whose parents were gerim, we won't force him to divorce her, Kirab Yosi, because after all, the halacha is technically like Rabbi Yosi. And that is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. A Kohen should not marry a woman, both whose parents are gerim. But if he did, then because technically, the halacha is that such a woman is mutter to him.
Now, what's the fact that it says Mizera means?
So that's what we said, and we said on Amanalis. So Rabbi Yossi is going to understand. Mizera mean as long as Rabbi Yossi, we said, Mishin Nizru Ubi Yisrael, as long as she was seeded, as long as she was planted among Jews, meaning that both her parents were Jews by the time she was conceived, then we're good.
Which are the two Gerim.
Exactly. So therefore, so Rabbi Yossi says that so Rabbi Yossi doesn't have a problem with that. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, since we've been talking about mamzerim and various other psulei kohol, so let's talk about who has ne'emonus to say that somebody is a mamzer. So the Mishnah says, ha'oimah b'nizem mamzer ainu ne'emon. If somebody says about his son that he's a mamzer, that he was conceived from chayv krisus, ainu ne'emon. So he's not believed. Rashi says because he's a relative, so therefore he's not kosher to give edus on him.
Person say bad about himself.
No, that's something else. That's something else. Ain't on a Mesa Matzim Rosha is a valid point. But nevertheless, the fact is anyway, though, here he's a Korai. The Ran makes a different point as well, because there's only one Aid. You need two Aidim to establish such things. There is some discussion why, in fact, Rashi mentions this point. Why doesn't he agree with the Ran's point that we're talking about because it's only one? Anyway, continues the mission of Afilu Shnei Modim Alo Uber Shemim Eha. Mamzer who, even if both the father and the mother agree, the woman is pregnant, and they both say this child is a mamzer, meaning that they're both agreeing it wasn't from her husband, it's from somebody else. Still, ain't in their money, we still don't believe them. The Gemara is going to point out what's the afilu, what's the greater chiddush in that. Rabbi Yehuda in their money. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says we do believe them. So the Gemara says, "My v'afilu shnehem." What's this afilu in the sefer of the Mishnah? What's the chiddush? And the answer is loy meboya kamer. It's one of these things. First, the Tana mentions the more posh the din, and then the less posh the din. Loy meboya ihu deloy kimle. Needless to say, we could say we don't believe the father, because how can he know for sure? How can he know for sure that this woman is pregnant with a mamzer, where he doesn't know? He doesn't know who else she was mezana with. For that matter, even if he says, for example, this child who was born, that I had relations with somebody who was an Isser Kodesh, so Pnei Yeshua points out, the fact is she might have also been Mizana with somebody else. So in that case, there's less of a chiddush that we don't believe him. Ela filu ihi the kimla, even the mother who knows for sure who she was with, loy mehemna, even so, we don't believe her to say that the child is possible, because you're going to need two aidim for that. And furthermore, the Mishnah is telling us another chiddush. Needless to say, where the child already has a cheskas kashrus, where it's after he was born, where we wouldn't believe them to say that he's possible to break that chazaka, even if the child is not born yet, the less the chazaka to kashrus, he was never born yet, he has no cheskas kashrus yet, and yet, even so, the Mishnah is saying that we still don't believe them. Because the fact is, you need two aidim to establish such things.
Both parents say.
So even if both parents are saying, nevertheless, we're still saying we don't believe them. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda Oymanem Monim, Rabbi Yehuda says we do believe them. Kedetanya, as we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says Yakir, the Pasuk says we're going to Bechur, that the father should recognize him and give him the double portion. And that means, we learned the other day, Yakirenu La'achedim. It also means that he causes other people to recognize him. Meaning the Torah gives the father a certain nemonus over his child status. Mikan Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Neman Onam Lema Zebni Bechor. Based on this, Rabbi Yehuda says that a man is believed to say, this child of mine is a Bechor. And we learned a few days ago, Tosfos had said that means even if he's saying about a younger child of his that he's a Bechor, implying that all the older children, therefore, are Mamzerim, because where did they come from? Nevertheless, we believe him to say this one is a Bechor. So Rabbi Yehuda.
You can have a few wives.
That's true, but no, but a Bechor would be the definition of a Bechor would be that's his firstborn as far as Yerusha. As far as Yerusha, it has to be his firstborn.
Okay, his
firstborn. So if he's married to a certain woman and they have five children, and he now says about the third one, this is the Bechor, implicitly that's saying the first two who were conceived and born after they were married must be from some other man. Nevertheless, the Rabbi Yehuda is saying, based on the word Yakir, the Torah is giving him that Ne'amonus. And therefore, continues Rabbi Yehuda, so just like we believe him to say this child of mine is a Bechor, so also we would believe him to say that his child is a Ben Grusho or Ben Chalutza. And the Chacham say we don't believe him in such things. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are being consistent with their respective opinions in the mission. Now, so the question becomes, well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, then it becomes easy to understand why the pasuk is saying the word Yakir to imply exactly this point, that the father has the ne'amonus to recognize and to say what the status of his child is, whether he's a Bechor, whether he's a Ben Grusha, etc. Elo l'rabbanon, Yakir l'amali, according to the Chachamim, what is the word Yakir even doing in the pasuk? The pasuk should say, Kiyas HaBechor Yitin Loi Pishnayim. Why the word Yakir, that he has to recognize him? So the answer is, B'tzarech HaKeira. The answer is, the Chachamim would say, that we're talking about a case where it is necessary to recognize him. It is necessary to state that he's the Bechor where he wasn't known to be the Bechor before. Meaning, let's say, for example, somebody comes from Medina Sayyam and says that he's his son. So now if the father says, yes, I agree that he's my son and he's my Bechor, then we would accept that. But the Gemara says, well, my hilchza. Why? Why would that be relevant? Losses like pishnayim. Would it be relevant just as far as that the father gives him a double portion? Pshita. Well, isn't that obvious? Lomalikra. Why do you even need a pasuk for that? Nigo di boy mesvele matona milo yavile. After all, and if the father wanted to just give it to him as an outright present, wouldn't he be able to do that anyway? So the father, we should believe the father that this child is a bechor because that's a migui. So what's the chiddush in the word yakir that we should say that he has the ability to do that? So a migui is because he could say he's not a bechor, but I decided I like this guy and therefore I want to give him a double portion of my nechassim. He'd perfectly be able to do that.
Through
a matnas shchibana, through a matnas bori, matnas shchibana, whatever. The point is he has the ability to do it. So what's the chiddush? He could even give him all the nechassim, Rashi points out. So sure, then why shouldn't we believe him to say the guy is a bechor and he gets a double portion? And the answer is, b'nechassim shenofla la'acha mikan. Because we can be talking about, what if the father gets new nechassim after he said this person is a bechor? So in other words, so this guy shows up, the father says he's my bechor. Later on, the father gets new nechassim, and now now the father is going to go on a trip. And he says that, so he's going to say, any of these nechassim, this child, being that I declared him to be my bechor, he's going to get a double portion. So if it weren't for the, now you don't have the migri anymore, because he couldn't have apportioned to him beforehand, before he said he was a bechor, because he didn't have those nechassim yet. So therefore, so now this guy is going to be getting them as Yerusha. So that's the chiddush of the pasuk from the word yakir, that he's able to do that. So the Gemara asks, when he says about this person who showed up from Medina Sayyam, yes, he's my Bechor, we will believe him, and even Nechosim, that the father gets later on, this son will get a double portion of them like any other Yerusha.
And then again, that's that his rest of his children are.
Whether that means what it has an effect on the rest of his children is another question. But that's the point is, though, that he does have, even the Chachamim will say, he doesn't have the ability to declare the rest of them Mamzerim, but he does have the special ability, because of the word Yakir, to say that this one is the Bechor and receives the double portion. Okay, the Gemara asks, fine, what about a coin to the mayor, though, who says that a person can be Machna Dover Shalai Bala Olam? So a coin to the mayor, it wouldn't matter whether the father has these Nechosim yet. He could still be Machna in advance. Any Nechosim in the future that I get, you should get a double portion of. So a coin to him, you don't need the word Yakir to tell us that Chiddush. And the answer is, Shenofla like true Goysis. You could be talking about where Nechosim, where he himself received Nechosim when he's a Goysis. So now the point is, as a Goisus, he's not able to say anything anymore because he's breathing his last breaths and he's not able to say anything anymore. So therefore, and now you don't have the migoy. He can't be machne because there are actually a few different explanations. Is it because? So Rashi doesn't really speak out why it is that when he's a Goisus, he can't be machne. Tosfos discusses at some length over here that the reason is because we said because a Goisus can't speak and therefore he can't verbally say that it should go. Tosfos Riazokin also points out that a Goisus is near death, so for that purpose we consider as though he was actually dead, so he doesn't really have the ability to be machne at that time. And then the Ritva points out that he might not be completely mentally there at the time when he's a Goisus. Whatever the case, the point is, in that case, he can't be machne to somebody else. So therefore, even according to the mayor, you need the word yakir to tell us in that case. The father says this son is a bachur, and therefore he should get it. And he said earlier, he had said that he's a bachur. Now, when he's a goisus, he received nechasim. So the fact that we say that he still has the ability to say this son should get a double portion of those nechasim, and he said that in advance. So therefore, for that we need the word yakir. So according to everybody, in other words, we have some, now it is true, Rashi points out, if any nechosim come to the father after he died, then anyway, the din is a bechor, doesn't get a double portion of those. The Gemara mentions in many places, ein a bechor noto beroi kevamuchsa. A bechor doesn't get potential things that are going to come to the father, only things that the father actually has in his possession when he passes away. But the bechor is not getting a double portion of something that the father will get, a yerusha that the father would get after he dies. But here we're talking about, he gets it when he's a goisus, and the fact is he's still alive. So therefore, the bechor is going to get a double portion of that. And the chiddush, the word yakir, is that again, even though he had said, even though as a goisus, he doesn't have the ability to be machneh for whatever reasons we said, and therefore you can't say a nigoy, nevertheless, the Torah is saying he has the ability to be machneh. That's the chiddush of the word yakir, according to the mayor.
If he's a goisus, how does he be machneh?
So that's the point. In other words, previously, when he was healthy, he said, this son is a bechor. Okay. Now, the result of that is that even the chosin that he gets when he's a goisus, the bechor is able to get a double portion of it by virtue of the earlier declaration that he's a bachur. That's what we get from the word yak. In the end, over here we have the chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda, whether the father has ne'emonus over the son or not. The Rambam ends up paskining like Rabbi Yehuda because we have this yakir and la'cherim is brought in other places in Shas as a blanket statement, and therefore that's how it is. The father does have special ne'emonus over his son to say what his status is, whether, like we're saying over here, that he's a bachur, whether to say he's a mamzer, whether to say anything like that. So he has special ne'emonus. He has special ne'emonus based on this word yakir. Anybody else, the mother or anybody else, does not. We learned a few days ago, we said actually a midwife has a midwife and a mother have a short window of opportunity for it. We said a midwife, as long as she's there in the room, the mother the first 7 days, but after that, only the father has ne'emonus because of this word yakir.
Why would we take away, if the mother could do 7 days, why would we?
Because after that, already that, because usually the Torah only said yakir on the father. So during the first 7 days, we learned a few days ago, Rashi says, during those first 7 days, the father doesn't really recognize the kid yet. So therefore, you can't expect him, but the mother does. But after that, the nemonis transfers to the father. Yeah. Okay, here, Kayach, everyone.